chatting with Richard Ash of Quincy Pride to talk about the virtual Pride events that are happening this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. Mr. Ash, nice to virtually meet you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
You too, Joe. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today, and we're excited about celebrating virtual Pride in the city.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. I know that typically June is Pride Month, and typically in Quincy for the past couple of years, you've had a Pride rally up at Pageant Field. Due to circumstances, that's not able to happen this year. But if you could, maybe for folks who aren't aware, just maybe give a little bit of history about the Quincy Pride group itself.
Sure. So Quincy Pride, the first Pride Day was in 2018. And I believe the numbers were somewhere around 2,000 people ended up coming that day. Last year was just about the same showing, and the same we grew a little bit, but we were really looking forward to growing even more this year. We have a great board of directors and great people working for us and with us and volunteering. And, you know, there are veterans that have been in Quincy and that know kind of the movers and shakers and know how to put on good shows and great times. And then we have, you know, younger talent now volunteering with us. So as excited as we were to marry all of our new pieces and use our old pieces, it seems like what we are going to have to do is going to be a really fun virtual Pride that we're hoping everybody can still attend and support us and have a good time.
Yeah, and that really was, I know the key is that it's open to everybody. It really became a huge kind of, you know, family event for early summer.
Family friendly has been the goal since 2018 with Quincy Pride. We realized that the level of gentrification that's happening to the city, which is great, and it seems like with all of the new construction and our nice, great downtown area and all that's going on, comes waves of diverse and different people, and it was a good time to acknowledge the LGBTQ community that's been in Quincy for some time, but also acknowledge that you have people that are now moving from, whether it be the Midwest or Dorchester, they could be coming from Ohio or just over the Neponset Bridge, and it seems like they want to be in Quincy, and we want people to get the most out of being here and feel like they can be supported by the community.
Sure. About how many members would you say are part of the Quincy Pride now?
There's about 10 of us that actively, you know, promote the events and try to get things rolling. But then we have people that come in and out. You know, City Councilor at Large, Ann Mahoney's always been a great asset to us, and she started the group a couple of years ago. She's our background player now, where she's our phone a friend, and we love that. So we have kind of lifelines that we use, but there's about 10 of us right now.
Sure. Has the has this pandemic, Richard, impacted the LGBTQ community in a specific way that maybe the general public is not aware of?
Definitely, actually, and that's a great question. A large part of the LGBTQ community is performance. It's an outlet, and performing arts and music and dancing and all of the things that come with, whether it's paintings or visuals, the arts are an outlet for the community. And a large number of people in the community participate in things like our drag brunches or like performances, or whether it's face painting or singing or just be karaoke, you know, and all of these outlets seem to be shutting down. Well, they have been shut down now for the last 10 weeks due to the pandemic. So we're excited that things are reopening, but we're also looking forward to giving back to the community with this event, both our time and having performers. There are two separate events on Sunday, which I'm sure we'll get into, but having performers, giving them money and saying, hey, we want you to entertain our constituents and our people and our members, and it's going to be great. But also just continuing to promote different performers and people and members of the community. So that way, this lull of income, and also not even, perhaps even more importantly, the fact that you aren't able to express yourself the way that you'd like over the last 10 weeks, we want that to be highlighted.
Right. Yeah, I know a lot of focus, rightfully so, has been placed on hospitality workers, restaurant workers who've been obviously directly impacted, but certainly performing artists are right there alongside with them too. So it's something to consider. And I'm glad you brought it up, actually, because that's what I was wondering also.
Yeah. And there's also, Joe, there's a number of mental health issues that come along, you know, and you may have somebody in their adolescent years that is now stuck home without going to their after school programs or seeing their friends that they might identify with more than others. Right. And now you're with, you know, mom and dad under one roof, and you're stuck there all day long and all weekend long. And you can't go out and enjoy yourself. And that very well may be your only outlet. So we talk as a group all the time about mental health with teens and minors and how we can push that in the community. Fenway Health is an organization in Boston that does great work for that very in that very area. So the questions that we have had related to mental health, we've been kind of referring people over to Fenway Health, but I'm hoping in the next couple of years that we can have more of a definitive partnership with them, or have something, you know, that stands in our city by on its own.
Sure. You know, that's a good point too, is, you know, we talk a lot about self-isolation within the senior population during this current situation. But if you're an adolescent, maybe still in the closet and, you know, don't have that support group that you normally would have with your friends, you might not be getting it from your family. So they may be feeling equally as isolated.
And you have nothing to do but clean out your closet. So it's not ideal, you right. know. So we're hoping that isn't an issue, but it very well could be. So
sure. So let's talk about the virtual Pride then for the Quincy Pride Committee this year. It's coming up on Sunday. This would be June 7th, Drag Queen Brunch, and then Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yes, like I just said, we are definitely trying to keep our performers happy and make sure that they have the a platform to entertain people and also to help us out, and we'll help them out. So there's the brunch is at 11:30, and it'll go about an hour and a half. There's the cast of Illusions in Provincetown. They put on the show. We're hoping that everybody will join us at home and you know, have a brunch like we usually would, like we've been doing the last few months. So we're hoping everybody will maybe make a drink if they feel up to it, or make some pancakes, or do both, and have some fun.
Now, will it be interactive, Richard? Is this something that the audience can participate in, or how's that going to work?
It will be interactive. Oh. It will not be like you and I, people's, the guest videos won't be on. I don't believe anyway, but some of the kinks are still being worked out. I know that it will be interactive where there will be at least chat room, but we'll see. Maybe we will do a few minutes of, you know, let's see you at your, let's see you in your kitchen, right?
Okay.
Let's see maybe with your disco ball.
There you go. Would you encourage folks to maybe dress up if they choose to?
Yeah, we're going to encourage everybody to dress up and just as if they were coming to another event. And we've also actually, a good segue, we also encourage people now that it's Pride Month to put out their Pride flags in the city and to tag us on all social media. We just want to see that everybody's being recognized and having fun doing it. We do have some kind of a visual, John McDonald's working on it with the church in Quincy Center. Mm-hmm. So there will be some kind of an LGBTQ showing that we'll be partnering with them, which we're excited about. And we're hoping that we see everybody's stuff outside.
Okay. Now, is this traditionally the date that the Pride event would have been held in person?
Yes. Okay. We always do the first Sunday of June. Boston Pride is the second weekend. So we try to get the first Sunday and hopes that we're on the first wave of the Pride events in June, and get people when they're all excited about it. And because by the end of June, sometimes even us, I'm like, if I see another rainbow, you know. No, I never say that. Yeah, yeah. I will apologize for my business attire. It's my first day back in the office, and I feel very pretentious right now, so don't judge me.
Not at all. Everybody's working out this new normal. Typically, I would have a shirt and tie on in the studio. Here I am in my bedroom, so there you go. Now, the brunch, will it be adults only, or is this family friendly, Richard? You know,
the brunch itself is geared towards adults.
Okay.
It just is. I mean, if people feel like there's not going to be anything that isn't appropriate, but it's a drag queen brunch. It's usually, you know, 18 plus, many of the times 21 plus. If a certain parent feels like their child can handle that, or are up to having their kids watch with them, then there's nothing that's going to be overly racy. But I wouldn't recommend it. No.
Okay. Gotcha. And then tell me about the story hour afterwards.
So the story hour is our Pride Day is usually family friendly, but there is a large performance piece to it. So in order to kind of cover both of those bases, where you have fun and then you also bring the kids in, the drag queen story hour is going to be just that. It's going to be a drag queen telling a story. I believe it's Ramona Mirage that we have, and she's great. And it's going to be, you know, log in and purchase your ticket, and then bring your child in front of your computer, and you'll hear a story. And it's going to cater to those families that I was just talking about, the families that have children and are a part of the LGBTQ community, because there are a lot of them on the South Shore, and at Quincy and Weymouth and Braintree and Hingham. And we want to make sure that they can use Pride Month as a teaching point, which is a lot of LGBTQ parents do. They use Pride Month as a time to teach their child about the community and what it means and how to interact and live in it. So we're hoping that Story Hour is a fun way to segue the kids into Pride Month.
Okay. I know at some of the past Pride events, there have been tables with different resources available for folks who have questions about, you know, a myriad of topics, from education to healthcare to socializing. Will there be resources like that this time?
Well, we don't actually have the platform to be able to get all of those vendors and churches and people together. I don't think that's in the cards for us. Okay. This year, I mean, I'd love to get everybody's organization out there, but unfortunately, we'll just have to hit it hard next year, and maybe we'll double up on our vendor tables. I know last year we had about 40, so maybe next year we'll see 80 at Pageant Field and see. Hope everything fits.
There you go. Well, I'm curious if, you know, given the circumstances, if something like this virtual event can be used in the future, even when there is no pandemic.
I would say I am an extrovert, and I would prefer to go to an event than to just like you would, I'm sure, would prefer to sit down with me in the studio right now and not like this.
Yes.
So I'm going to say that if I was given the choice, I would hold the actual event. Yeah. But it's nice to know that people are open to using technology to connect everybody, and not to sound like, you know, one of those really emotional Amazon ads or anything that people have seen lately. But we're excited to be able to, that we can even do this and get people together without getting people together.
Yeah. What has the response been so far? Do you feel it's going to be pretty good participation? What have you heard?
I think so. I think that we're selling some good tickets. I think that we're selling a good amount of tickets, and I'm hoping that will continue as the week goes on. Obviously, a portion of our ticket sales do go to the Quincy Relief Fund, which is something that City Hall and the mayor's office and city councilors have all worked really hard on. and we're excited to do that, as well as recently we've been trying to support some other of the local nonprofits, because we want everybody to know that we're here too, and we would love to continue to do our work and then also be able to help other nonprofits that do great work with their work. So it's a nice marriage of all of those different ideas.
Yeah, that's a great cause. And speaking with the mayor just recently, that fund is close to $250,000, goes to organizations like Interfaith Social Services or Quincy Community Action Programs for their food pantries and, you know, emergency services, maybe some city celebrations in the future too. So that's great. And it's a good point too, that you need tickets for Quincy Pride online, right? How does that work?
Yes. We need tickets. I'm sorry, you just cut out there, Joe. What'd you say?
I'm sorry. So how does the online ticket sales work? You know, how do you do that?
And there are two separate links, one for each event. The drag brunch is $10 and the story hour is $5. So two separate links for each event. Fill that out, name, credit card information, and then you'll get an email with your Zoom link and you'll be all ready to go.
As I was saying, the event is June 7th. It's Quincy Pride Online. The Drag Queen Brunch from 11:30 to 1, and then the Story Hour from 3 to 4 p.m. Do you need, can you buy just one ticket or the other, or do you have to buy both?
Nope, there is separate individual events that were, so separate tickets, two separate purchases, so that way you can pick if you just wanted to do one or the other. It's not a package deal, but we hope it'll be a package deal. So we are hoping that you have fun in the morning with us and then get to, you know, maybe if it's nice out, get outside and hang your flags and then come back and hear a funny story.
Okay. And, the main website, quincypride.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you think we should add, Richard?
I don't, just go buy your tickets. We want lots of emails that say purchased ticket orders. So,
okay. And is this going to be kind of followed up on your social media after the fact with stories?
We try to make sure everything gets out there that we do. So we'll be posting all month long. There are a couple other great initiatives that we're working on, the details to be ironed out. So kind of just stay tuned on all of our platforms. And we're hoping to make the most out of June, even though we unfortunately can't be with everybody.
Right. But please let us know here at QATV. We'll be happy to help you get the word out, too.
We will.
All right. Thanks for your time. Good to talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.